So our reading this morning is from John 6, and it's on page 1069 of the Church Bibles, John 6, starting at verse 1. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him, because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. And this is the word of the Lord.
Great. I love this story in the Bible because I love food. Does anyone else love food? Yes. I honestly think that my passions in life begin with the Lord. I love Jesus, but then it's food. Then it's food, you know, and you know, everything else comes after. I will prioritize food over all of you. I just know that. And every year, if I can, I try and go on pilgrimage to what I think is, you know, a place where just God really dwells in a beautiful way, and it's in Rome. And I think the greatest prophet who lives on in the world in Rome is in this place. Can anyone guess who I'm talking about? A great man of God who lives in Rome. Who might I be? Not the Pope. He's all right. But I'm talking about Mario, who runs a trattoria in Rome. And the first time I went there in 2012, I went to this place and I didn't know what I was in for. But I sat down and I ordered the carbonara. And I sat down and I was with my friend Georgina. And you know, George and Georgina, we're quite funny people when we're together. And she ordered the bolognese, and her bolognese was okay. It was all right. Don't go to Rome and order a bolognese. You know, we have that here. Carbonara in the UK, though, is just not great. It's just not great. But if you go to Rome and you order the carbonara, oh my. I was a Christian before, but after eating that carbonara, I knew that God existed. I knew that God existed because you can't have something that tastes so good and brings you so much joy and not believe in God. Honestly, we can throw away all of evangelism and just give people a good carbonara because they will know that God is real. They will know God is real. And what was so special about this carbonara, I'm preaching about a carbonara this morning. What's so special about this carbonara is, you know, when it's not too wet, you know, it's creamy, but it's not like saucy. You know, and it's just exactly perfect. And it wasn't made with pancetta, it was made with pork cheek. You know, and it was just phenomenal. And it just changed my life. The Holy Spirit came and you know, I was transformed forever. Hello. You all right? I like this kid. So, So I love this story because I love food, and I love that God is interested in food. I love that Jesus gets all these people and doesn't want them to be hungry, but wants them to be full. God is interested in whether we're hungry or whether we're full. God is interested in food, which I think is awesome. This isn't the first time I've preached about food. I do it often, and it's not the first time I've preached about bread, yeah? Youth group, yes, I do preach about food in youth group a lot. that is absolutely correct. It's not the first time I've spoken about food, but because Jesus is on a mission to feed his people. But what I love about the story of the feeding of the 5,000 is that actually he doesn't do it alone, does he? It's not that he gets everyone and invites them to a really massive table and then food just appears out of nowhere. He looks for someone who's already got something. He looks for something. And we can see here this amazing generosity that you guys already have. And people have come and they've offered what they have. Isn't that wonderful? And so he looks for a little boy. Who's a little boy? I need a little boy to borrow. Can I borrow? You're not a boy. All right, go on. We'll be inclusive. We'll have a little girl for this retelling. Yeah, well, you can bring him with you. Excellent. Oh, there we go. And so imagine a little child comes up to Jesus offering a little bit of food. Offer me a little bit of food. Yes, very good. Very good. Thank you very much. And Jesus, thank you. Round of applause for Madeline. What a star. The most important member of our worship team. And the little bit that Jesus gets multiplied, and people share it around each other. And it doesn't happen from the front, it happens in the crowd. The miracle happens in the hands of everybody. And I think that's what is so special about what Jesus does, is he does not reserve the miracle to himself, but he gives it out. And actually God is now not just working through Jesus, but working through everybody. Can you just say after me, Jesus will work through me? I need that to be louder. Jesus will work through me. Excellent, amazing, because he wants to use you to do the miracles. He wants to use you to make sure that everyone has full bellies and that everybody is fed. But what's really special is actually what happens after the miracle. That's the bit that really, really excites me. Because when he's hanging out afterwards, after the miracles happen, he's hanging out with his disciples and some other people, and he says to them, I tell you the truth. Moses did not give you bread from heaven, because they were talking about Moses giving people bread in the desert. It is my Father who offers you true bread from heaven. The bread of God comes out of heaven and breathes life into the universe. And then the people ask him, well, we want this bread. Where do we get this bread from? Jesus is promising everybody loads and loads of bread that will satisfy you forever and ever. That means that you'll never go hungry ever again. And the people are asking, where do I get this bread from? And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. It's me. It's me. I'm the bread. Can you imagine Jesus saying, I am bread? It's a bit silly. I am bread. Of all the things that you could say, I am bread, but it's me that satisfies you. It's me that fills you up. What you need is me. And I have another story about food, and my issue is that sometimes I let food take control of me a little bit, and I've made some really bad food decisions in the past. And this one time, my second passion after carbonara is curry. I love curry. I'm obsessed about curry. And particularly, there's a Nepalese restaurant in Ealing called Monty's. If you've not been and you like curry, get a Nepalese curry. It's wonderful. It's so delicious. This place called Monty's in Ealing, and I went with my friend Charlie, and we sat down, and I had my curry. I had the lamb. I had a butter lamb, which is like a butter chicken but with lamb. Imagine. Because butter chicken is really good. But if you put lamb in there, wonderful, I love lamb. And I had the poppadoms, and I had the chutneys, and I had a samosa as a starter. It was delicious. It was absolutely fantastic. And I was very full. I'd had three courses, you know, and I was absolutely stuffed. But after that, I got a phone call from another friend. And this friend called me and said, George, where are you? And I said, oh, well, I'm in Ealing. And this other friend said, well, you're late for dinner. And I'd forgotten that I had another dinner invite. And so I thought, what do I do? Do I say I've had dinner already? It's too late. No. I thought, let's go. And so I just had a three-course curry. And then immediately afterwards, I ended up having an entire roast dinner. If you look at old photos of me, you can see what that does to a person. Look at my Instagram, G. Kesarani, it's very funny. But it was a delicious roast dinner as well. It was all very, very good. But the next day was not very, very good. The next day, I was walking like a penguin. My insides were burning. Everything was a little bit messy, and it just all went wrong. Do you know what I mean? Who's felt like that when you've overeaten? Put your hand up. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It just doesn't feel good, does it? No, it doesn't. And do you know what? I don't know if I should mention this bit, but I'm going to mention this bit. A really hot curry the next day. You think it's hot going in. It's so much hotter going out. Honestly, it's awful, awful, terrible. Sorry, Sue. Sorry. Sue over there is going too much. Too much. I'm the youth worker. That's my job. But it was awful. It was awful. And you know, sometimes we try to feed ourselves with lots of things, and actually, we don't get full. We get, you know, unhealthy. And I don't know about you, but maybe you feel like sometimes you need to like fill your life with stuff. And actually, what you fill your life with, it generally like becomes a part of you. So I don't know what kind of things you watch and what kind of music you listen to or what kind of, you know, where you're getting your energy from and what kind of video games you play or what kind of, you know, books you read. But what you take into yourself becomes a part of you. You are what you eat. You are what you eat. And so if you eat a curry and then a roast dinner, the result of that is not good. And what you eat from the world around you, what you consume in the world around you, creates the person that you are. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And if you eat Jesus, if you consume Jesus, if you let Jesus become a part of you, then you are what you eat, and you get to become a part of the body of Christ. There's a reason that the Bible describes the church as the body of Christ, because if we take him in and he becomes a part of us, then we get to be a part of him. You are what you eat. Can you say that? I am what I eat. Absolutely. And this is the exciting thing about Jesus feeding the 5,000, is he gives of himself. And we get him. And so if we are what we eat, it means that we begin to look like Jesus. If we read about him in the Bible, if we talk to him every day, if we ask his Holy Spirit to come and be a part of us, then we get to look like Jesus. We get to be a picture of God in the world. Can you say, I want to be a picture of God in the world? Excellent. Good. Thank you, guys. It's all very exciting stuff. And it means that when we go into the world, and if we're eating Jesus, if we're consuming Jesus, if we're letting him become a part of us, it means that when we go out into the world, for those people who don't know Jesus yet, it means that when they meet us, they meet him. Because it's all a little bit muddled up, because when we take in Jesus, it means that, well, he's part of the Father, and then we're in him, and that means that we're in him, and he's in the Father, and he's in us, and the Father's in us, and we're all together. We get to join in to what it means to be a part of the family of God, which is really, really fun. And that's how we become more generous. That's how we become more loving. That's how we become more kind. Amen? Excellent, excellent. Let me pray for you. Do you want to bow your heads? Holy Spirit, we invite you to come into this church. And we know you're here already. We know you've always been here. And we know that you're not going to leave. And would you? We just ask that we would get to consume you this morning. Would you come into our hearts anew? That you would be a part of us. That we would know that you're in us. That we would know that we are the body of Christ. That we'd really get what that means. And that you would transform us from the inside out. Come, Holy Spirit. And if you want that transformation from the inside out, then just say amen. Excellent. Thank you.